When the issue of semi-automatic guns is approached, the gun zealots turn on their electric fence in the effort to keep what they embrace from even just being discussed. The defense for possessing what even the creator of the AR-15 called a weapon of war for use by the military is freedom. There are those who want you to believe that they need these high-power weapons to protect themselves from the ones who are coming to get us all. They say that's the U.S. military, FBI, IRS, CIA, among others. Here's a newsflash for those people. If the U.S. military wanted to actually indeed come for you, they could do it with a drone in a way that would vaporize your home and make that big boy gun you're clutching no better than a water pistol. These are the same people who say that the ownership of as many guns as they want is part of their God-given rights via the Declaration of Independence, where it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Which, I guess, means those rights don't apply to those who are slaughtered in the mass shootings with assault-style weapons like we saw once again this past week in Maine. Freedom does not come through a man-made object that can be used to end an innocent life. True freedom comes only one way, through Jesus Christ. Now, don't argue with me about that. Take it up with Jesus, who in John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I know. I've seen the T-shirts, the signs, the banners, too, that in all caps scream God and guns, or maybe in some cases, God, guns, and Trump. How many ways is equating those two or three so wrong? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I don't see any mention of an AR-15, Uzi, bump stock, or anything like that. Do you? There are those who say, "It's my right." Don't one of those. Ever hear of the Second Amendment? Ever hear that not every right made by man is absolute? Well, if the First Amendment is an absolute, then why do we have people losing libel and slander cases? If the Second Amendment is an absolute, then why did the Heller decision by the Supreme Court agree that the right to own a gun for the protection of home and property involves just handguns and shotguns, which is why 10 states have either limited or banned the ownership of any military-style weapons? God and guns on an even level? Hardly. Remember what happened when a weapon was used by one of those with Jesus when Judas brought the guards to take Jesus into custody? Well, in case you don't, let's read from Luke chapter 22, verses 49 through 51. When those around him, meaning Jesus, saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "No more this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Do you really believe that Jesus nodded his head in agreement when Representative Lauren Boebert said not too long ago that if Jesus and others back then had AR-15s, Jesus would not have been crucified? Which shows her ignorance about why Jesus went to the cross in the first place. Who does the absolute right rest with? God. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 44. "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" Here's what we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, we read this. "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." Now, with all that as truth, what do we do as Christians in a world that is filling up with more darkness at a faster rate than ever before? We care for those that we can protect from that darkness, not with the biggest weapon that mankind can make, but with the strongest weapon of all, God's love, His wisdom, and strength. When someone near us is troubled, listen to them. When someone near us is angry, help them overcome. When someone near us is lost, be the light. Jesus explains in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." If Jesus came to serve all, with most not even knowing Him, you can certainly serve at least one who knows, needs, and will trust you.